Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it. She delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Well, yeah, happy anniversary to Jan and Russ 1 year ago. That's I hope you have many more anniversaries together. And, of course, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who are so important in God's plan and purpose for the ages. It's no small task that you've been given. Mother's Day always has its close association with love. You saw that in the songs that we sang. Mothers have it for their children. It's innate, a love that is innate within them for their kids. It's part of the equipment. It's a luxury package, if you will, comes with mothers and their children. It's a love that exists, that's built in. It's like Coke, the real thing, the real deal. And I want to go back. I was going back to see when we had looked at this subject matter before, and we had not gone through this except in 2007, which is some time back, so I don't think it'll hurt that we go over some of the same information again to review some of what we looked at Mother's Day back in 2007. It's a different kind of love that mothers have. And for a better understanding, I want to look at the Greek. Now, the Greek language is the language of the New Testament. It's not classical Greek. It is Koine Greek. It is very similar. But Koine Greek was a language that was used for just a fairly short period of time, around 400 or 500 years. It, of course, is the language of the Bible, along with Hebrew and Aramaic. And I heard a preacher say in Peru some years ago, he said, I don't know why in the world we study Greek in seminary. And that is just astonishing to me, that someone that had even been exposed to it and exposed to the Scripture could just mark that off as something that's really not important, because so much is lost without it in study of the Scripture. And I always kind of feel apologetic about bringing it up, but I can't help it. You have to have it in order to get to the root of what Scripture is talking about in so many cases. And I'm not a real Greek scholar, by the way, either. I have looked at it, but I'm not. I'm depending on others who have studied the Greek, Koine Greek. Today, this subject of love is a perfect example, because you can't get the bottom of an understanding of love with regard to Scripture without Greek. It's impossible. So, love in the Greek. There are three main words that are used in Greek to describe love. One of them is eros. And we'll be looking specifically at eros. The other one is phileo. And the third is agape. We only have one word in the English language to speak of these three. Love. Eros, phileo, and agapeo. First, let's look at the word eros. It is for passion. It has the connotation of sexual desire. It is exotic and erotic. It comes in the Latin word amor. And because of its unsavory associations with sexual overtones, it was absolutely unsuitable to express the holy and moral character of scriptural love. This is why in the love chapter, and sometimes Tim will read that, in the love chapter, charity is used in place of the Vulgate, which used amor. The scripture went from Hebrew and Greek to Latin, and then from there into English, so it would have come as amor in English, but they had to get a different word because of the connotations of eros. It would be wrong to use the word agapeo in that situation. The second word, phileo, is the best example of this is mother's love, this being Mother's Day. It denotes the love of natural affection. It is an inclination that is visceral to mothers and their children. It tends to be something that is just automatically there, original, spontaneous, involuntary. It is and would be inclusive of man and wife. It has, sometimes it's depending on the parties, it also has the connotation of eros included. But here we find a reason for studying the Koine Greek of Scripture. The word phileo is never used of the love of men towards God, accepting Christ of the Father. There it's used, but it's never used of God's love towards us. Only the love of the Son Christ to Him. The bad thing is, I think, is lots of times Christian artists and musicians portray this kind of love too often in the music. We love Him. We are not in love with Him. Because God's love to man is expressed as phileo, not expressed as phileo, but expressed as agapeo. And our love, in turn, is the same back to Him. Now, The agapeo, there is something peculiarly sacred about this word, agapeo, in that it is unknown outside of Scripture. Agapeo, the noun, never occurs in Greek writings. Plato, none of them. That word's not used. It is entirely absent from even writers of history like Josephus. It's almost like God gave us a new word, agapeo, because the language of men contained nothing high enough to denote this love in its fullest conceivable form. The question is, what is love? Man says, well, it's a many-splendored thing. You know, I was watching TV the other day, and I think you've probably seen this, maybe. It has to do with one of these hospitals, maybe Jude, or where they ask these children, what is love? And it's amazing to me. The one little boy says, well, it's a new prosthetic leg. That's love. And a little girl who is just totally crippled up says love is being able to stand. And obviously they fixed her to the point that she could finally stand up with a pair of crutches or a walker. The one little girl obviously had no spine or something was wrong with her spine, and she had this full body brace on, and she said, well, love is being able to dance. Another little boy had no arms, and his description of love was being able to be independent. And he's playing the piano with his toes and playing soccer with his feet, but he has no arms. So love sometimes it's not very well described with just one word in our language. And so we have this word agapeo, which is different. Here is love as a direction of will. It is based on principle, agapeo is. It is to make much of a person. It is irrespective of rights. It is more from the head than from the heart. It is the love that he has for us. And I don't deserve it. And the strange thing is that it is the love that we are to have towards our enemies. You talk about loving your enemies. Well, I don't phileo my enemies. I guess I can agapeo them. And the best example of that is I've used before. You remember some years ago, the most famous boxing match of all times, the Rumble in the Jungle with Frazier and Ali. And today, they love one another. It's not a love based on this or this. It's a love based on agapeo. They have a respect for one another. Only they can understand what it takes to be in that ring in that situation. So they have a respect for one another. It's knowledge, not the heart felt love of phileo. It was based on knowledge or experience, agapeo. Agapeo love then makes the following 10 things. We're getting now down to Scripture, where we can begin to look at Scripture and we see places in Scripture where the word love is used because we don't have any other word. But behind that, we find these three words. So it gives us a better understanding into what we're reading. That's one of the reasons that you need to have some knowledge, or somebody has to have some knowledge of Greek in order to better interpret what the word says. So I have 10 things here. The first is the relationship of the Father and the Son. Turn in your Bibles to John 15. John 15, verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's agape love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. That's agape love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Every one of these words is from the agape word. And I think we see that here. I have love for the people in this congregation. It's not based on phileo. I'm not going to be the minister that runs off with the church secretary or the choir director. It's based on agapeo. It's a heart. It has more to do with an understanding, with appreciation, with thankfulness, and so forth. We find this in verse 17, or chapter 17 of John. Chapter 17. Verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved, he may be in them, and I in them. Agapeo love. The second thing is the redeeming love of God. Jump over to 1 John chapter 4. Page 1875 in the Companion Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So God has loved us, irregardless of how much I deserve to be chopped in half, he still loves me. Aristotle said the deity exists not to love, but to be loved. Scripture reverses that totally. Look at verse 19 of that chapter. We love him because he first loved us. Now that's the exact opposite of Islam. In Islam, if you don't love God, Allah, as it is, he won't love you. It's backwards. God loved us with agapeo love. No matter what I deserve, he loved me first. That's why I love him in return. Number three, there's a distinctive peculiarity of Christian love in relation to others. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Paul loved all of the saints. And it is with this type of love, agapeo. I can say the same thing. I love Ronnie Green, based on this type of love. Why is that? Ronnie Green has true grit. You never hear Ronnie complain about dragging that oxygen around. I love her for that. She also makes the best chocolate desserts in the world. And she takes care of my friend Howard in good shape. But I can say, as Paul did, he loved the saints, and I loved Ronnie Green. It's the same kind of love. Here you can begin to see the need, even more so, for an understanding of some Greek and the words involved, because we essentially have but one word to comprehend this. The fourth thing, it denotes the believer's relationship to God and Christ. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, page 1797 in the Companion Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The believer's relationship to God and Christ. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patience waiting for Christ. His love, our love, back and forth, is based on this connotation of this word, the meaning of this word. Jump over to back over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. But whosoever keepeth his, verse 5 of that second chapter, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So here comes this type of love being brought forth in us because of those who keep his word, who believe in what he has, what he's telling us and what is being taught in the scripture. This becomes something that a lot of folks don't have, agape love. The nature of God himself is found here in chapter 4 of 1 John. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Agapeo, love. Verse 16 of that same chapter. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The sixth thing I would point out, the relationship of God's love with the sacrificial gift of Christ, found in that same chapter in verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The seventh thing I would point out, the need for the believer to manifest his love, there in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And I think we see that in this congregation, the relationship that we have. I feel that there's concern here for everyone involved in our lives. You're supported. You're all being supported by one another, I think, and it's so important. But that's agapeo. Number 8, the perfect effect that casts out all fear. Turn to, well, we're there, chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's a big statement. But you know, I think back to, do you remember when we talked about Nehemiah, and he went down to build the city, and he built the temple. They had been captive all those 400 years or whatever it was in Babylon and or in Egypt and then in Babylon also. And he goes down there, and there's this guy down there named Sanballat, and he has all these armies. And some of Nehemiah's men say, Nehemiah, you know, why don't we just, we got the walls of the city built, why don't we just hide in the temple? Fear. And Nehemiah said, should such a man as I run? I will not run. Why is that? He wasn't afraid. He had no fear. And I think that's what we find today. If you have this relationship with Christ and God through him, and you have some understanding of the Word of God, you don't have fear. All this that goes on in the world, it's like water off a duck's back. Why is it? Because you have read the last chapter of the book. You know what God's purpose and plan is. And therefore you take on this attitude, I do, should such a man as I run, should such a man as I flee or be afraid, I will not. I don't care what happens, I will not be afraid. Agapeo, love. The life of a Christian. Go back to chapter 3 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's what we're doing here today. We're searching, we're understanding, we're growing in the knowledge and the truth. And the tenth thing I would point out, the love that is so complete and so assuring, so unchangeable, that we are, according to Romans chapter 8. Back up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love, the agapeo of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now a test. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment. And that's the verse that's up behind me on the wall here. Based on what we have looked at. These three words, these three Greek words, which word is used here? That your love may abound. It's quite obvious that it's not eros, it's not phileo, it's agapeo. Your understanding, your principles, your knowledge of him, your relationships, all based on this kind of love. So this shows the need for having some background in Greek. That's why when men go to seminary to become preachers, they have to study some of this Greek stuff. And unfortunately, in a lot of seminaries today, they're cutting this out. And it's a shame. Because here's a perfect example of the need to understand. That's what I'd have to say on Mother's Day about the mother's love. It is, without a doubt, this one right here. It is phileo. We thank God for our mothers. We thank God again for the written word, that we may have knowledge and discernment till the day of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the mothers. We're grateful to them. We pray for each of them. I'm thankful for each person here. I pray that they would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I ask that you open all of our eyes of our understanding, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.